Welcome to The Table, where three women of three generations are navigating together how to pursue God as Father, Jesus as Lord, and Spirit as Shepherd through every stage of life. It doesn't always look pretty, and it's never perfect, but we're always aiming to sharpen each other as iron on iron. So sister, pull up a chair, settle in, and get ready to grow with us in today's episode of The Iron Women. Welcome back to the Iron Women, episode 7. Today, we are going to be talking about knowing God and knowing yourself. It's going to be a really good conversation. We've got a lot of good information, just good conversation back and forth. And so, but before we get to that, we are going to get into our connection card question. Okay. And it is, what is your favorite team? Now, it doesn't list a sport, so I'm guessing all of them are on the table. What is your favorite team?
Sure.
Yep. I think Erica and I, do we agree on this?
Well, yeah, I have more answers than you will, though.
Well, I have a new favorite team.
Oh. Favorite team.
But per sport. Per sport.
That'll take forever.
No, I'm not saying all the sports, but if you have a like I have multiple favorite teams because I watch multiple favorite sports.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm impressed that you watch multiple sports. Yeah.
Well, definitely for me, and I was not this way before I came into it. I was like, I'm from Philadelphia. So you naturally just, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia Phillies, all that. But I married into a North Carolina Tar Heel family. And so I have, you know, I have joined in. I often give the story of the day of Erica's birth. We have this picture where I, as the new glowing mother, am holding our new beautiful daughter. And Jeff is sitting beside me, not gazing at the beautiful daughter, but leaned over looking up at a TV because Erica was born during March Madness.
Oh, that is so good.
You know, you either beat them or join them. Is that the thing? So yep. North Carolina. But this is my new team. I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan.
Oh.
Yes.
Why?
I'm actually having deja vu. Did we do this in season one? Because almost word for word what you just said, I think you said before.
But I've said it lots of times in your life.
No, I promise you in season one, we did this question and I'm now just, it's all coming back to me because Mama literally said, but now I have a new team and it's the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh no, we did do that because this is brand new information. Yeah.
I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it.
I have never said Dallas Mavericks before.
This is brand new information
for me. This is Erica. Like, this is weird. Okay. Yes. Because just recently, our last conversation with my son, who's not in the States right now, he is now a Dallas Mavericks fan, and he's always like, help me with this. He's always like, is it Kobe? No, not what? Kobe. What's the guy that Jonathan's always liked on the Dallas Mavericks? We even bought a...
No. He just got to the Mavericks, but he's not been on the Mavericks for very long.
Kyrie.
He's a Kyrie Irving.
Okay, but he has this new favorite player.
Djokovic.
Yes. And so now I've looked up all the statistics and now I know when the games
are. This is the NBA, by the way, for girls who don't know what she's talking about.
Oh, my eyes are glazed over.
Oh, I don't even know if I realized it was NBA. But I have always done this thing as a mother. I try to take part in the things that my kids are interested in. So now I text my son about, hey, good win last night.
Oh my word.
Okovic, or what's his name?
She's still developing.
Yeah. Say that again. Djokovic.
Djokovic is, he's not going to play tonight. He's got an ankle injury. So, yes, I'm a Dallas Mavericks fan for you.
Which, fun fact, not that y'all care, they, you know, Mark Cuban
from. He just sold them.
Sold them for like billions of dollars. He has been the owner for
a long time.
I bought them for Jonathan.
Right.
That's how much I love my
children. When are those checks coming in?
Yeah. So North Carolina.
That's our sponsor.
Oh, but I also love my son-in-law so much.
All my answers. Can you let me maybe talk about my own husband?
No. because he's my son-in-law.
But he's my husband. Okay. He's your son-in-law because he's my husband.
Okay, you can have the one, but I'm taking Dallas Cowboys. I now pull for the Dallas Cowboys. I know he has the other one, which is your main one. I won't steal that one. But I now like, hey, how are the Cowboys doing?
Erica's eyes are rolling right now.
Yeah, well, okay, there. I'm done. I'm done that.
Okay. So mine, since she pretty much stole half of mine, I was born into a Tar Heel loving family. So yes, I do pull for the Tar Heels in college sports, mainly basketball. We have had a couple of decent football seasons recently. So that too. And they're kind of like icons in women's college soccer back in the day. But other than that, my husband is a giant Braves fan, MLB Braves fan. I actually, for Christmas, one of my gifts to him was we went and got a tour at Truist Field, like a behind the scenes tour. It was like 2 hours long with a guided, like a tour guide.
And it was on like what, $25?
It was $25. Really? Dude, if you're a Braves fan and you ever just want to go down for an overnight trip on a weekend, or on a, like we literally went the week after Christmas.
Their pictures were amazing.
You get to go on the field, the dugout. You get to take in all the behind the scenes exclusive clubs. You got to see the locker rooms. You get to see like, which is not called locker room. Matt's going to scold me for that when he hears this. I can't remember what they're called. But you get to see all this kind of stuff, all the trophies, the jerseys that are like saved forever.
Yeah.
You get taken to where the press box, where all the like the TV people sit when they're announcing and all. It's
I am just
insane.
Taken back by how good of gift givers y'all are.
No. Erica is the premier gift giver.
I mean, I'm not going to brag. Like, but
someone gave her a penguin experience too.
Oh. Matt for Matt my 21st birthday, he bought me a one-on-one meeting a penguin at
and
the Atlantic
we
Aquarium.
Did take you to your first zoo penguin experience.
That is true. Yes.
Okay, Those are like, I mean, I'm genuinely impressed. These people know how to like really
I take
bless
pride
the
in my in my gift
each
giving.
Other.
Yeah. Erica's easy to buy for though too. Yeah. Yeah. She has so many loves.
Yeah.
But yes, big Braves fan.
That was a really thoughtful present.
But if you're a Braves fan, $25, it's worth going. And it was 2 hours. You learn so much and you get to do all this, take as many pictures as you like. It's insane. For $25, it's pretty good. Yeah. That's that. She mentioned the Dallas Cowboys. My husband is Dallas Cowboys, even though we don't want to talk about that now because,
I know,
they're not
sad.
Great. Oh. And then I used to be bigger into the NBA when I was in middle of high school. And I was a big LeBron fan. Like I had, t-shirts, t-shirts, jerseys, and me and my husband, when we dated, we kind of like both were in that together, but we're not so much LeBron fans anymore. I don't watch it as much, but also I just don't love where he's gone. So I just love basketball in general, watching it. So
they
those
get
are
that from their daddy.
Those, I don't think I've, he also, my husband, he's a South Carolina Gamecock fan,
I know. I was
but
say,
he doesn't really love
that.
He, the last year of our marriage, he has multiple times said he's going to abort that boat. And I am telling him no.
He's a true fan.
I have told him we're not doing that.
Fair weather fan. Fair weather fan.
So don't abort it, Matt.
It's because they've sucked for year after year after year after year after year.
Say that word.
And, well, sorry, it's true. And I'm telling
you. We're talking about sports.
It'll get better one day. It'll get better one day, babe. Hold in there. Hang in there. All right. So that's
ours. There we go. Little did you know, Lauren.
For all of y'all who have glazed over for the last 7 minutes of this podcast. I was with you. You can see where my interest was piqued at the gift giving. It's crazy because, so I grew up as like a diehard New England Patriots girl.
Yeah. Oh, because you love Tom Brady. We talked about that.
I love Tom Brady. I loved Tom Brady. My affections have waned for him and the Patriots in recent years because they're terrible people.
Did you see Bill Belichick is leaving? After all these years?
I saw like a little blurb thing or like, cause Mark watches like SportsCenter and like all that stuff all the time, which even that is not safe to play when your kids are around now. Cause they curse and like all that. So anyways,
But that was breaking news.
I know. So I don't know. I've just my interest has waned. Like, bless my mama. She still buys me New England Patriots stuff for Christmas. Like I have a mug and a keychain that I still like have not opened.
She's just trying to keep you connected to your roots.
She is trying to keep me connected to my roots. Yeah. And
you will when your boys get older and they have teams, you're going to love it.
Okay.
Again.
So that's the thing. And Mark is also like die hard for his Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
And Tom did quarterback for the Buccaneers. And so I did start like getting on the Buccaneer bandwagon and stuff. And I just don't want to fight with him. And I don't. And I don't
either,
like,
beat him or join him.
He legitimately like gets upset with me. Like if I crack jokes about like our kids, like being New England Patriots fans, and he's like, no, like, you know, and so,
which they are from Florida. So that makes sense. They didn't just jump on.
They were born and raised. Yeah, exactly. And I was not a Fairweather fan for 10 years of my life. The Patriots broke my little heart. Cause they sucked so bad. And then we started winning championships. Talking about sports, we totally can't.
Now you're a Hertz car rental fan. Cause
why would that?
Hertz car rental, because
Tom Brady does the Hertz commercials.
Freaking celebrities from like their strike or whatever, they're all getting so desperate and they're doing the dumbest sponsorships now.
Yeah,
like, I think I saw like Drew Barrymore on like this, like, anyways, I digress. Yeah. I know. But yeah, so I guess I'm a Bucks fan. I'm a Mark Henriques fan.
Oh.
Okay. And so I like we're having a not a Super Bowl because they haven't made it there yet, hopefully. And this hasn't premiered. This will have played after this, but we're having like a little football party on Sunday because the Bucks are in the playoffs. Sunday? I think.
No, the Super Bowl is not Sunday. It's the playoffs coming up.
No, the playoffs. See? They're still in playoffs.
The Super Bowl is in February.
They're still in playoffs. And you better believe it, if the Buccaneers make it to the Super Bowl,
we'll be at the Henriques house.
The Henriqueses will have a cold party at the house. Yeah. We go dormant in the wintertime. Our hospitality goes dormant in the wintertime because we have such a summer house.
Yes.
But and we already had our foundation person come out and said that all the celebration has to be on the cement slab in our house. Lord. No jumping in the other part of the house.
Okay.
So anyways, yeah. I'm a Bucks fan, apparently. So there you go.
I'm just proud that we could talk this long.
We got 11 minutes down
on that topic.
I know.
Wow.
Look at us. We are so balanced.
Wow. Look at us. Look at us go. Okay. So anyways, getting on to what we're really here for. Okay. So we're talking about knowing God and knowing ourselves. When we were kind of discussing this over our little pre-call to discuss all the topics, Deanna brought up a really good point where she made like a simile to Build-A-Bear about how we like do this thing called Build-A-God. Mm. I don't know. I kind of loved the explanation of that. So will you like get into that a little bit? Yeah. Like knowing God, like what is this whole concept of we build a God?
Yeah. So I think one of the things as a believer, you have these foundational things that we do in discipleship. And like, you know, what are the base things that we should know as believers? And there's a lot of good stuff out there. But I read this, I can't remember. I meant to look this up. I couldn't remember if it was Martin Luther, or if it was John Calvin that said this back in the 1700s. And they said that the basics of what Christianity is and should be is know God and know yourself.
Yeah.
And so I found myself, like I was saying that for years, and then I found that this was this thing from these old guys saying it, and I'm like, okay, so I must be close in discipleship. And when I really started discipling people back in my 20s, I found that these were two really big weak areas.
Mm.
Because if we did say we knew God.
Yeah.
Boy, there was a lot of different definitions on who God was.
Yep.
I even had my own definitions. And so, you know, as I've used terminology and stuff with women in discipleship and teaching, the best analogy I could give them is like when you go into one of those Build-A-Bear workshop stores and you just get the raw bear.
Yep.
And you go in and you put anything on him or her that you want.
Yep.
And that
you can even pick out their heartbeat.
Yes. Okay. So that's kind of what I think about when, you know, most people give what they think about God, what they believe about God.
Yeah.
And they have built their own God.
Yep.
Based on what mama or daddy thought, based on what grandma, grandpa, based on what the preacher thought and mm-hmm. told them, based on what the world said about God. And very few at this stage of my life could really just say, this is what I know about God. And it's based on what he says about himself in the word where he revealed himself.
Yes.
Yes.
And so I say this to that. Also, I say, if you wanted to let someone know about who you are, you want them to know who you are based on what you say. And I don't want someone else that doesn't really know me, that didn't spend time with me, that hasn't lived life with me. I don't want them going out and describing me to someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's like, okay, we need to know about Deanna. Well, I kind of want you to go to my husband or kids.
Yeah.
I think they'll give you, you know, good and bad, because I've lived with them.
Yep.
They have watched my life. They have heard me talk. They've seen me live. And so they're getting the revelation of me. I don't want someone that I've just met or just has seen me on a few occasions giving a description about me.
Or secondhand.
That's good.
It'd be like if Lauren had never met the two of us and Lauren wanted to know Deanna.
Yeah.
And I'm not your daughter. I just kind of know you in passing.
Yeah.
But Lauren comes to me for secondhand revelation rather than Lauren going to Deanna for firsthand revelation.
Right.
Yes. And so all of that thought process and illustration is just basically to say this. Make sure that the God you're worshiping and the God you're loving and the God you're having problems with is the God that reveals himself in Scripture, the God of Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, the God of Jesus, the God of Paul.
Yeah.
You know, make sure it's the God of the Bible. Know that God, because what you're going to find is there's going to be some things about that God that you may not like in your humanity.
Mm.
And so what that ends up doing is we end up choosing and picking what we like about God and what we don't like about God. And God's not real crazy about that.
Yeah.
Something that I don't know if it's just my generation. I've noticed a difference in the last probably 3, 4, 5 years. But people have this thing now where they always, and we may have touched on this in a previous episode, but like, they all, you know, refer, no one wants to say God anymore. And I'm talking about like unbelievers, like the world. No one says like God, it's more like the universe concept, higher power, the divine is what people will call it. Mm. But man, they all have this thing. It's getting so popular where they're like, whatever, you know, what I choose to believe about God, you know, what God is to me, that language is everywhere in the world right now. It's everywhere. I mean, you can't listen to someone, and I said this about something in a previous episode, but like when people accept awards for things, they're like, you know, whatever God is for you, for me, I just want to thank that higher power. And, and they've just been there for me. They're using plural pronouns now and even feminine pronouns. Mm-hmm. Like she has been there for me, you know, that divine higher, the universe, God. Mother God. It's just like, it's everywhere. And it's trickling down. It's trickling down through the internet and social media and what we're watching. Mm-hmm. And it's through music.
It's our culture.
It's everywhere.
Right.
So it's just like, it's unpopular. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe 50 years ago, 70 years ago, it was like kind of a common understanding, like in our nation, like it was like the Bible defined what God is.
Yeah.
He defined himself.
Yeah.
But now we are so entitled in our culture. Like we all get to define our own little God.
Yeah, we're so self-aware.
AKA we are our own little gods.
Which is so ironic, because our culture now is I get to define me. I don't want anybody defining me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, okay, well, can we at least give God that same privilege to define himself?
Yeah.
Because there is no other God.
Yeah.
If we ever use the term God outside of the God of the Bible, Jehovah Yahweh God, truly the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, we are only referring to little God G.
Yeah.
And I get a little... not offended, but you know, cause I don't need to defend God. He's very capable, but you know what? I'm like, you know what? If you are going to say that, just acknowledge that you're just doing another God. Don't put my God in the same, in the same competition, because he has no equals. He has no rivals.
Yep.
God is completely other than anything one being we can ever imagine.
Yeah.
There.
I used to kind of, that's what I would say. You're worshiping some dude named Jesus, but he's not alive. He's some dead guy somewhere, like, you know, and that's not the powerful name that the Bible talks about, you know? And so, I've just seen a lot of damage done. I think it was you, Deanna. I heard you say theology matters.
Yeah, and it was just so becoming a popular thing.
Yeah. Theology you know, matters. And it does. It does. Like I've seen people like, and even now, you know, people that I've been friends with for like over a decade and watched them still struggle and just like kind of flounder around with the same kind of poor thought processes and just like, just they're not standing on biblical truths. And you know, or even like combat me, when I'm trying, like when I try and push like reading your Bible or like, just like being in the Word of God and knowing God for who he says that he is, you know, they'll like push back at it. And yet still they're sitting in kind of like the same sort of headspace. And it's just heartbreaking to me, you know, because, they wanted to worship who they wanted to worship and they wanted to believe what they wanted to believe. The fruit over time doesn't lie, you know? And like you might have, it's like, you know, if you practice meditation, like outside of like biblical meditation, it's going to bear some fruit. Like it's going to have some positive effects on your life. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you try and live a good life to please the universe,
right,
it's going to have some fruit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you'll probably bear some moral fruit, but you are not going to have that like everlasting, like really, I don't know. I just don't even know. The fruit is not going to be the fruit that the Bible talks about. The fruit is not going to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not, you're not abiding in the living God. And so I don't know. I just, while we're on the topic of what we've done with God and how we've built our own God, can we talk about what the Bible does say about who God is? Like, can we talk about and dive into some of his attributes?
Yeah. That's terminology that we use, an attribute of God. It is something that he reveals about himself in the Word that says, this is who I am. Okay, so as we think about the attributes of God, we're thinking about who God is, and this is based on Scripture. And so as I think about this, there's just some that really just come to the forefront of my mind. And I will say that at different stages of my life, certain attributes have kind of been, oh, this is the one I really love about God. And this is the one that, you know, is so valuable to me. But I want to start by just when, you know, you come to the point of sharing the gospel or accepting Christ yourself, we want to think about what attributes of God some people really need to know when it comes to salvation. Like these are some of the most important ones. And we use a method called the exchange that highlights four of God's attributes. And I think these are some of the most important ones.
Yeah.
The first one is holy. And when you think of holy, holy is just, it is set apart. Yes, it is. But it's a little more unique than that. It's completely other.
Yeah.
Like God being holy, God is holy. And he says this about himself numerous times. In fact, I believe it's said
it's the
more.
Most, yes. It's the most mentioned attribute.
The most mentioned attribute. In fact, like the seraphim and the cherubim and the angels, they are crying this out to God on a nonstop basis, that he is holy, holy, holy. There is no one like our God.
Yeah.
And so I kind of take that and then every attribute under that or alongside of that, however you want to say it, is like, okay, he is like no other in his justness, in his love, in his mercy, in his unchangeableness.
Yeah.
Okay. Like there is nothing, no one that compares to him in any of this. So yes, God is holy. He's completely other. He is not human. and does not think like we humans think. Yeah. And so when I think about, oh, well, that's not really fair. I don't like that about God. And, oh, well, that doesn't seem loving. Don't matter. Mm-hmm. Don't matter what I think about this. Only what matters is what God thinks. So we have to understand his holiness. God gets to say who he is.
Yeah.
And God gets to put the parameters and the definition on everything about him. So mm-hmm. then there's his holiness. There's his justness. Like, I cannot say that my concept of fairness
yeah.
is what God's concept of fairness should be.
Yeah.
But I do know this. He says about himself, I am just. Mm-hmm. I am just. And we kind of put on that like a fairness, but remember it's God's fairness, and God sees behind the curtain, and God has a purpose for everything, and God has a plan, and he will do the purpose of his will, not my will, his will. And so, okay. So God is holy. God is just. God is loving, and God is love. And that is going to be a love that I don't even know that we can imagine as human beings.
Yeah.
And then there's God is gracious. God is just gracious beyond what gracious. I mean, I know some people that really have the gift of, they're just a gracious person. They extend a lot of grace, but nothing to what God is. And so when yeah. you put those things in the context of salvation, okay, because God is holy, perfect, sinless, like no other, he cannot tolerate our sin. Like, he just can't tolerate it. When you think mm-hmm. of God's justness in accordance to salvation, God is just. And because he can't tolerate that sin, he cannot overlook our sin. He must be a just judge. But because he is a loving God, the most loving, a love that we will never understand while here on this earth, he gave his son.
Yeah.
He gave his son. And because he is loving and gave his son, and because he's gracious, he offered his son to us and what he did on the cross as a gift to us, that if we accept that gift and we believe in what Christ did for us on the cross, we will then be saved. Our sins will be forgiven. And because God gets to say who comes into heaven, well, if I follow his rules for coming into heaven, I will be a child of God. And so I love those attributes of God, but I'm going to say, there's a lot of other attributes of God I love as well. What are like some that you guys have?
Well, something that I just thought of that I have not really thought on before. I know this, but it just came to me in a different way. I think we often think of, you know, God's attributes as if they are like pieces of clothing that he puts on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good. God is holy. He put on his holy jacket.
Right.
As if he can take it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. Like, God is holy as like, I am a Bartlett in my blood. My yeah. DNA is something I can never change.
Yeah.
It's who I am.
Right. Yeah.
No matter what I put on today, because I got married and I put on another name, mm-hmm. I'm still a Bartlett in my DNA.
Yeah.
Right.
So God yeah. is holiness. Like, it is who he is,
it's
in his nature. Yes,
yeah.
it is the nature.
Yeah.
He is the holy. He is love. He is grace. And when we try to redefine these things as if they can be put on and put off of him
right.
and that they can change and ebb and flow, we're missing it. We're missing yeah. what, you know, he is these. He can't help but not be these things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that yeah. was just something I randomly
yeah.
thought of.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's the same way that I use to try and explain salvation to people. Like, just the same way that your mother or father's DNA runs through your veins is like as more sure if you're a child of God and if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like that it is more assured. It doesn't go away. You can't take it off. Just like if your mother ever denies or like cuts the relationship off with you as her child and like starts to deny, it doesn't matter. Her blood is still in your veins, you know?
Yeah. And that's when it goes into then knowing God, and we'll go back to that, I'm sure, but knowing yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm of the belief system that I cannot know myself in the way that I need to, which is in its purest form, apart from how God has defined me.
Yes.
I cannot know me because I am his creation. I am his image bearer.
Yeah.
So in order to know me, I must know him. And so as I've gone through and been called by God, given the grace to accept his salvation, I am now his child. And as we know with Ephesians, I am now in Christ. So I need to know who I am now in Christ.
Yep.
And as we do that, now that I'm in Christ, I have all of Christ's holiness and justness and love
and righteousness
Everything that is Jesus, who is God, is now in me. Because of that, now God sees me as holy, as just, as righteous. And he's like, oh yeah, that is living with me forever in eternity. And so knowing God as he describes himself and knowing yourself from what God says of now who I am in Christ. I'm just going to say, we see people apart from Christ trying to find out who they are. I mean, it's like one of the biggest things in our world.
Oh yeah.
Finding out who we
Why am I sucking air off this planet?
Yes. Who am I? What is my purpose? And I'm just going to say, you are constantly going to be looking for that until you find who you are in Christ and what my purpose is now as God's child.
Can I tell you that one aspect alone too has helped me in my parenting? Especially with like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, because I have a lot of confidence in knowing my kids can go out and they can search to the ends of this earth and they will never come upon something that will satisfy them or fill them or answer their questions or tell them who they are and define themselves the way that my God, my King, my Jehovah, my Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, will do. And I just, I take so much confidence in that. And even say, like, if that's a part of, you know, if that's a part of their story, go.
Yeah.
Go, try and find it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, when we try to think about this and we're trying to figuring out like, who is God and all this, because that would be the next thing. Like, okay, like I have a lot of girls that say like, how do we even find the attributes of God? So I know this is, I find everything in him. And when I do go searching, honestly, you can like Google attributes of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's that easy.
Yeah.
And
make sure there's Bible verses next to the attribute.
Yes. You do want that. I mean, just as you read through your Bible, just start making a list of, oh, God said this about himself. Oh, God said this about himself, or God allowed this name to be given to him. And so he's like, yeah, that is me. That is me. And so, I've had pastors' wives and stuff just suggest to their ladies at church, you know, if you're trying to struggle, like, what do you want to study? Just study the attributes of God.
Yeah.
Really just figure out, I need to know who God says he is.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you can go through life with a wrong belief system and a wrong belief system about who God is. It's going to cause you some issues along the way. It's going to cause some issues along the way. And it will be a struggle for you.
Something that I am also thinking about is how once you know God, it then allows you to know yourself, especially when you take the step of becoming a believer. You now know who you are in Christ because that is defined for you. You know, our world is obsessed, like you've said, with the searching for purpose and identity. We so badly want to be defined, and we've gotten to where we want to do it ourselves. That is such a struggle, and it's exhausting, actually, because there's a hole in you, in your soul, that is literally can't fill itself. It is unfillable by human means, by worldly means, by tangible means, a substance or another person, yourself, any book, any seminar, any life coach. It's it's such exhausting. It makes you a wreck, man, when you are just battling. And this is coming from a place of like, I feel for these people. I really do.
Yeah.
Like I grieve for them because I can only imagine the turmoil. Like I often think of them
too.
We kind of think of them as like, oh man, they're just lost out there, man. They're trying to grab absolute torment. It's just they're left to themselves. And if you're just trying to define yourself, the world's going to tell you, yes, define yourself. That is the answer. Come back to us in like a year and let us know if that actually works for you. It's not. There's something so peaceful, and it's such like a relief to take the pressure off having to identify ourselves. Once you are in Christ, like, oh, he's already identified me. I don't need to do that work. He's already done the work. Like, I just think there's such a rest about it. Like, I don't have to work to define myself or earn y'all's respect of defining myself by what you want me to be. Like,
Well, and the that's reason that is, the reason that is because as we go through life, we put different definitions on ourselves. And a lot of those things come and go. Like, yes, I am a mother. I am a mother. Well, what happens when those, you know, things happen? Oh, I am this. I am this. I am this. And so, you know, I just choose to like, I'm just going with Jesus says, because that is eternal.
Yeah.
Like that is eternal.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't identify myself by being a pastor's wife. That's not eternal.
Yeah.
A wife, that's not eternal. Like I may not be, you know, when I may be a widow, not a wife.
Yeah.
And so, be careful what definitions you put on yourself because man, if I just live in the definitions Christ has given me, I'm safe there.
Yeah.
I'm so safe.
What the world likes right now literally changes in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like what the world is like pushing to identify you as right now. No joke.
Oh, I know.
A year from now, they will all be recanting, be like, yeah. We're all going to get canceled if we say the things we said a year ago.
Right.
We're changing our mind. We're updating our thoughts. Yes. It's like the world is so unstable and not eternal.
Uh-huh.
Like,
and then they pride themselves on that. Like, look at how well I pivoted.
Yeah.
You know?
And that makes me think of one of the attributes I love about God. I find I go back to his, it's called immutability.
Yeah.
Which means he does not change.
He does not change.
And I'm just like, how, as I get older, I value that so much more.
Yeah.
Because people change and sometimes that's hard to accept.
Yeah.
But God, the same God that helped Abraham and the same God that spoke to Mary is truly the same God.
Yeah.
It's almost like there should be a song written about that.
It's almost like.
Like about God being the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah. Someone needs to write that song.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you just think about that aspect, attribute of God.
Yeah.
What a comfort that is.
I know. It's so relieving,
it
man.
It is. Yeah. It's relieving.
And that bleeds into one of mine is the faithfulness and the sovereignty. And I know those can be split. Yep. They are two different things, but they overlap, obviously. Yeah. It's just like when you grasp the sovereignty, oh my goodness. It's just like, I'm released from the control.
Yeah.
I am released from the facade of control now.
Yes.
Like all the bad and all the good, it's in his hands. And it takes a lot to get there. And it's scary when you first come to grips with that doctrine is like, it's probably the most scary.
Uh-huh.
Because we are so addicted to control and we love to think that we get a little sliver of the pie.
Yeah. We get a say,
But then you start thinking of the ramifications of all that. And it's like, wait, no, cause then that wouldn't add up here with my other theology. And it's like, he is sovereign.
That is the one I have struggled most with in my life. And I will say, right next to that is the goodness of God. Because I remember I used to sing the song in the church. It wasn't the one we did.
God's been good
in my
life.
Yeah. And I remember I sang that. And I remember the next time that I sang it because I realized I wasn't believing that God was good. I was living like in my journals and stuff. I started realizing, Deanna, you sing that and you may say it, but you truly don't think he's being good to you. And so I loved when I was like, when I was struggling with that, I'm like, God, please, I need you. And the book, The Real God, it used to be called God as He Longs for You to Know Him by Chip Ingram. I just thank you, Chip Ingram, for everything you've done. Your ministry has like saved my life. But it was like, I was given that book, like, you know, just coincidentally during that time.
Yep.
And normally when you get books on attributes of God, they start out with like the big ones, holy, sovereign, you know, just.
Yeah.
This one actually started out with the goodness of God.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. And I devoured that first section and I didn't move out of that section. I was like, God, I am not moving out of this chapter
until I believe it. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it wanes, you know, because of life circumstances, but you know what? Nope. You are good.
Yep.
You are good. And now I sing those songs from just a true belief system that no matter what happens in my life, and those things make me sad.
Yes.
Some of those things may make me angry, but I still believe you are good.
Yeah.
You are good.
Well, and I think that that's where people struggle too. It's when their feelings contradict what the knowing is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, or, you know, what the truth is.
Yep.
You know, I don't feel this. And so, and we give our feelings too much of a say in that conversation to, you yeah. know what I mean?
Like, is it not the same with the doctrine of sovereignty, which right. yes. we're not going to talk about the actual doctrine.
Yeah.
But in of itself, like sovereignty was hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I had some feelings
yes.
in there mm-hmm. and I had some thoughts, no way God wouldn't be this way.
Right.
And so I realized, okay, so I would always say, yes, I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I really had to like, okay, God, am I going all in on this?
Yeah.
And I do. I go all in and I just say, I am a sovereigntist.
Yeah.
I believe in the sovereignty of God, no matter what my humanity says,
yes.
No matter what my feelings say, God, you said you're sovereign.
Right.
And a sovereign God is not going to be sovereign in this thing over here and not this thing over here.
Yes.
Because he does not change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I remember like the first time that I was introduced to that word, sovereignty.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't until I came here.
And that's the nice word. There's other words that I think people like less than.
Yeah. I don't use those words.
What are those words? I'm just curious. You don't want to say those words. Okay. Well, sovereignty. Yeah.
And just those are names of men.
Huh?
Those are names of men.
What do you mean? I don't get that.
Calvinism?
No, that's not what I was going for. Okay. I was going for predestination, foreknowledge.
Well, those are Bible words.
That's my point.
Oh, yeah. Those
sovereignty
are Bible
to
words.
Me is the soft way of
yes.
saying the other two words that people make it seem more harsh.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I don't have this bad. See, this is what Lauren just speaks from a blissful place
that.
Of ignorance.
And I love it.
And I love it too. Yeah. I don't want to be like all bogged
ignorance
down and like,
truly is
wait, like,
bliss.
Why is predestined a bad word?
Right.
Like, that's literally like,
I love predestination.
That I'm predestined, like God chose me, and that's yeah. amazing and beautiful. But I mean, I could see like the other part of it too. But, I digress. I don't know. I just remember like being introduced to that as like a doctrine. Mm-hmm. I didn't even
what doctrine meant.
I didn't even know that like doctrine was a thing. And so yeah, like I squintily looked at the person who's teaching this and was like, probably like open mouth for a part of it and just kind of like taking it all in. And I was like, I mean, like it was like one of those moments where my spirit inside of me was like, this is true. This is true. This is true. You know, like the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit was like defending himself in those moments. But like, I had never been presented with like a full, like, doctrine of it before, yeah. you know? And, but what I had realized is that I had been living in and walking in and had the belief system of God is sovereign.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
Lord had gotten me there.
Yeah.
I just didn't have a doctrine yeah. for it in my life.
Yeah.
But let me tell you the freedom that came.
Oh yeah.
From a doctrine of it.
Yes.
And from like having like a theology of God's sovereignty, God's complete and total control mm-hmm. over every aspect of our life. Like when I finally allowed myself to like you said, uh-huh. completely like fall into that and like rest in that and wholly accept that. Like I'd say, like I was living
mm-hmm.
as yeah. if that was true. My conversations with people, my advice to people, it all echoed that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah. I think often it rubber meets the road on whatever attribute is the one that maybe you had a season where you struggled.
Yeah.
It always rubber meets the road when something horrible happens in your life.
Yes.
Whether that's someone dying,
yes.
losing a house, a job, a marriage,
yeah.
Cancer, whatever. Like for me, I came to grips with God's sovereignty when I had to break off a pending marriage, like when I was engaged, and I had to choose to believe, do I actually believe God is sovereign in all things and the yeah. goodness of God and faithfulness of like the ramifications of God goodness that I had to grip with was like, I do believe that it is core in my belief system. But if I let that trickle down a little bit into my life
yeah,
and what that means for me, it means I'm believing what he has for me is better than what I have planned and want yep. for myself. And that oftentimes I think is where we get, I don't know if it is though. I think maybe he has something. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to like God's plan as much as I like, you know, what I wanted to get married or whatever in my timeline.
Yeah.
And looking, but it's always when you get to look back, you're like, dude, if I would have gotten married, my life would look different.
Very different. Life would look different.
We wouldn't be sitting here. I'm pretty sure I would not be sitting here doing this. This podcast probably wouldn't be happening.
Hmm.
Like, we wouldn't be sitting here at all if I would have gotten married when I wanted to get married. But God's like, no, my plan A, which is the only plan of God, plan A is better for you, for your good and for my glory in the end. And that's, you just learn to rest. But it's often, unfortunately,
not easy.
It's unfortunately when we walk through the valleys that we have to learn. No, the shepherd, the shepherd's out there with the rod and he's tending to the sheep, even though we may, you know, not see him.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's funny that you say that because I have like seen a lot of suffering, like of just, very, very close friends in my life. I've walked through some suffering with, I mean, you know how like they, like there's that little saying or whatever that like you can count the amount of true friends that you'll ever have on like over your entire lifetime on one hand. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like 3 of the 5 of like my lifetime friends, you know, like have just truly been through some really, really, really hard things, and have lost people and loved ones and children. And so I don't know if that's where I first started like grappling with this. But I know I was faced very quickly with like those questions of like, do I believe what I say? Like, do I actually legitimately believe what I speak? You know? And, it was almost like I didn't have a choice. Like I had to, I have to believe these things. Otherwise my entire world will crumble. And it's funny because I watched some other people interact with these close friends of mine and they literally didn't know how to, because it's like their very presence in their life was like a direct contradiction of the faith that they had, of the God that they had in their mind. Like, 'cause these friends were solid, Jesus loving, dedicated, like sold out for God Christians. And these really terrible things happened to their life. And so they would like interact with some other people and like people literally were like, I can't even, you're like a contradiction to my faith. How can I even, you know what I mean? And it was just, I don't know. It was a weird like thing to kind of witness and to process through and everything else, you know, but.
Well, the truth is though, Lauren, even the three of us sitting here, we have errors in our belief system of God.
So. Oh yeah.
And so that's why just the rest of our life, that's why we say things like stay in the word, study the word, be in communication with the Lord. Because
there's safety in that.
Well, there's safety, but he's like, I still have things to teach you.
Absolutely.
About me.
Absolutely.
And so it will be till he takes us home with him and whatever that's going to look like. But it, so constantly just be, that's why I love just, you know, when you sit and you listen to a sermon or something and I have my paper Bible there with me. I'm not against, you know, phone Bibles and stuff like that. But I have my paper Bible and I can see things like right there, like, oh, wait a minute. Look what God just said about himself.
Yeah.
And it may not even be the thing that the preacher's preaching on, but I'm like, look right there. I love how Jen Wilkin in Women of the Word taught us that when we go to the Word of God, the Bible is not a book about me. It's a book about God.
It's a book
about
God.
What's God saying about himself? So, And I'm excited. Like, what else am I going to learn about God? And I know some of that may come through difficulty, and I'm not excited about that. I'm a human.
Yeah.
But I am still like, because he has been so cool in teaching, like, I thought I knew everything about God when I was 12.
Yeah.
And then, when I was 20, I thought I knew everything about God. And when I was 54, I thought I knew everything about God. And now I'm excited about
it. And I like the thought of, like, just... I mean, he gave us the Bible and that is the revelation that he has chosen to give us.
Yes.
There's stuff about God that's not in the Bible. He chose to not reveal to us yet. There's a lot of gray in the Bible that we're like, but this doesn't add up. The mystery of the Trinity. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
It's like, but how, God? That doesn't add up. Or like, or that you've always been here.
Yeah.
I can kind of wrap my head around the fact that he'll always be for some reason. Yeah. That's easier. But the fact that he never started. Always
been.
I know. I can't. But
Our minds are not created.
So it's like, but to know there's that. More.
Like, yes. I've, yeah.
We yes. don't. I yes. actually love that. I think yes. some people are frustrated by that.
No, I take comfort in that.
I love that.
I've literally like.
Who wants a God that they can understand?
That you get to the last chapter. And you're like, I finished learning about God, everyone. Like, no.
Look, we are very excited. Excited about this.
I know,
like,
seriously.
If there was a camera here, like, I know, good right? luck getting word in edgewise, you people. Yes.
We're getting animated. Yeah. It's funny. Okay. So when I teach, like, when I'm teaching my kids how to pray, we like follow the adoration, thanksgiving, confession,
supplication.
Yes. All those fancy words. We just, anyways. So the adoration part, my kids are still, like I'm trying, they're at the ages now, they're 6 and 7, where I can kind of start turning some of like the sweet little, oh, I'm just going to let him just have it, you know?
Yeah.
And I can kind of start turning them to some truth, to some like doctrine and stuff, you know? And so when we're praying and we're in the adoration part, like think about something that you love about Jesus, that you love about God, and just thank him for that. And they're like, well, I thank you that I have a great mommy and daddy and I have a warm bed, and you know, cause we're trying to like still just like thankfulness for everything, you know? And so I'll try and like turn it to be like, okay, so what does that tell you about God? Like, what is that? Like, what does that convey? Like, what does that tell you that God is? Who is God in that? And they're looking at me cross-eyed, you know? And I'm like, is he a generous God? And they're like, oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you, God, that you are generous, that you are generous to me, that you are generous to our family, that your generosity never runs out, you know? And then like, they'll start repeating that and everything. And it's just that little tweak, that little turn of like pointing them toward the attributes. Like, I want you to, that's what adoration truly is. Like, it's not what it's not the hand of God. It's the heart. It's who he is. Like, we're worshiping him for who he is. So I don't know what made me think of that, but we've had those conversations here lately. And so it's been fun, but, we do have some resources for y'all. If you guys are invested in this topic or think that you need to be invested a little bit more. I mean, I
believe every believer needs to be invested in this topic.
Seriously.
Yes.
I don't think that you'll ever go wrong, like studying more about like who God is.
Yeah.
And so, just a couple of resources, Knowing God by, is it J.J. Packer?
J.I. Packer.
J.I. Packer. There's Knowledge of the Holy by Tozer, Holier Than Thou by Jackie Hill Perry, and God Himself by Evans. And then also mentioned as above to The Real God by Chip Ingram.
Yeah, that's a good one to start at. It's readable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I've attempted a few of these and they're still way over my head. But I'm getting there. So I remember the first time that my sweet Deanna here handed me Knowledge of the Holy and my brain cramped within like the first 3 seconds of picking up that book. But we'll get there eventually. We will. We definitely will. So we're going to go ahead and turn to our fun cup question and close this thing out. And so this question is, if you're listening from like far off places, this is a local question, but we can talk about like some small online businesses and stuff too. But the fun cup question is, what are some small or local businesses to check out that you guys have like maybe recently discovered that you love?
So you're talking about the Anderson area, or are you talking about like the surrounding Greenville?
I mean,
Anderson,
to us local businesses.
Anderson, Greenville. But if you have like a small business online too that you want to like throw out there, you can totally do that.
I mean, don't overthink it. What are like some of your just locally owned businesses? They're not a chain. They're not a franchise. They're not a big corporation. They're just locally owned.
Figs.
Say that again.
Figs Creamery.
Which unfortunately.
I know. The owner
recently passed away.
But
so
they are
sad.
Keeping it going. Yes. And so we're glad
that's
of that.
That's downtown, by the way, for those, if you've never heard of Figs. Yeah. We need to give context. So it's like, it's a little deli, ice cream, coffee, sandwich, and they got a gift shop. with just little novelty stuff. Downtown Anderson.
Yeah.
Figs
yeah.
on the corner.
Figs.
Great.
Okay.
Place.
If you want some good food in Anderson, because we struggle, us little Anderson folks. If you want some good food in Anderson, you just go check out Ruffage.
Oh, yeah.
Thank me later.
Yeah, Ruffage.
Thank me later.
Yeah. It's heading out toward Denver Downs area.
Yes.
Yeah. Pendleton. It's,
yeah, Pendleton yeah, yeah, yeah. area. It is. It's worth the 10-minute extra drive yeah. for all you downtown Anderson folks. Yeah.
I have two that come to mind. One is clothing shopping related, the Fashion Shack.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Fashion Shack. I have
to go here. What is this?
Almost every time someone asks me, oh, where'd you get that? I'm telling you, it's either from Target or it's from Fashion Shack. And I want to plug them because they're a locally owned, you know, place. There's one in downtown Anderson. And they've actually got... Yes. So okay. people sell their clothes, they buy them from them, and then they resell them to gotcha. Customers.
Like a Plato's Closet.
But way better, in my
way
opinion.
Way better.
That's what okay. I tell people. They pay better for your clothes normally because okay. I'm also a big seller of my clothes. Mm-hmm. And then they, to me, are a little bit more strict on what they accept and sell. Oh. So it's better. Also, Plato's is kind of more teeny boppy yeah. a lot of yeah. the time in the South.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like for women.
Oh,
like,
okay.
And, but
okay.
they have a baby section, a kids yeah. section, men's. Mm-hmm. They
where
have a
is
whole,
this?
So it's downtown Anderson. Mm-hmm. Do you know where Grouch is?
Yeah.
So it's across that grassy knoll.
Oh, the Common House is there.
It's on the same strip yeah, yeah, as the yeah, Common yeah. House mm-hmm. Or the Wedding Shop downtown.
I know exactly where you're talking about. Yep. Yeah. Okay. I've literally
definitely
walked past it.
Worth
what is,
checking out.
Allie's business there
oh, yes.
as well.
It's the wedding. It's Catherine Marie Weddings.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right beside the Common
she does
House and Fashion
dresses.
Shack.
Dresses.
And wedding planning.
And wedding planning.
Yeah. Yep. She's great.
Yep.
So those are some cool ones to check out. And then the other one that came to mind, and this is actually newer in my life. I've only been once, but it was a great experience. And it's somewhat local. It's an orchard I just went to that's
yeah.
family owned. I had always gone to Skytop, which is also family owned, and it's a great experience there. But I just went to one called, well, Dang Flabbit.
I never heard said that. Dang Flabbit?
Dang Flabbit. I'm going to forget the name. It's like Jay
I'm never
going to
stop saying Dang Flabbit.
Well, that's going to bother me.
Okay, y'all, hurry up. Google it. Okay, can I say
yeah,
another
you
one? You Google it.
Yes, you say
okay,
another one.
So,
I have another one too.
One that like my side of town doesn't get a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got one that's now, it's a restaurant called The Social Tap
oh, yeah.
and Table.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, they have these Barbara fries. They're, yes.
Good?
Yes, very good.
We still have yet to go there, and we're foodies. We got to go there.
Oh, yeah. They have a coconut dream cake or cloud cake. Oh, man.
Ooh.
And this is bad because I'm fasting all day today, not for religious reasons, but for health reasons. And so, yeah, but they're very new business. So, huh. you know, like always with new businesses, give them a little grace
yeah, yeah.
in that certain time. But yes, their food is really good.
Huh.
Yeah, Social
yeah,
Tap.
We definitely,
it's on Pyramid Dairy Road.
There.
Did you find it, Erica?
I found it.
Okay, what is it?
It's called Jeter Mountain Farm. It's in, it says Jeter
Spell
Mountain.
Spell this.
Jeter is like the baseball player. J-E-T-E-R.
Derek
Jeter. Jeter Mountain Farm is a family-owned and operated you-pick apple orchard and takes root on nearly 400 acres in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So if you're in Anderson, it takes about an hour and a half to get
where
there.
Where is it?
It's right outside of Hendersonville, which is also where
is
Skytop
right
is. It may be open, but they're not doing like the apples. That's
apples.
Only,
yeah,
actually, they're not
season.
Open. I think they only do certain... I don't know. Check out the website. It's Jeter Mountain Farms.
Okay.
But we just went there with our friends for the first time back in the fall. And they were just like top of the line experience. They had all this kind of playgrounds for kids. They had food trucks with like homemade, like it's not a chain food. It's like food they make in-house there.
Yeah.
They obviously have like the donuts, the apple cider,
yeah.
a huge gift shop. You can go pick this up yourself. They had a flower acreage where you can go make your own flower bouquet. It was just like top of the line, state of the art facilities.
Yeah.
Wow.
And dude, it was packed when we went. I mean, thousands.
Yeah,
people
I know
were
that
there.
Was the yeah. thing you'd invite Daddy and I to go on with.
No, we offered it, but it was on a Saturday, and you know he doesn't like going out on Saturdays.
Oh, I guess I couldn't have gone.
Well.
Next time.
But
okay.
Yeah.
So for all y'all who are not local, I have a small online little shop that is local.
Oh, but
it's based out of Greenville, but it is online. It's called Not Consumed Ministries. And that is, they have like a bunch of family resources, kids, Bible studies, how to like develop like family devotion time and stuff like that. And it's a good one. It's a good one to check out. They've the kids Bible studies, yeah. My kids really like, and they enjoy it and stuff. And that is local and small. Yep.
And let's also mention, both of y'all are technically kind of local businesses.
Oh yeah. Storybook Studios. If you're a preschool mama or preschool director,
yeah,
go ahead and reach out because we do preschool photos and I love that I get paid to make babies smile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have Deanna Bartlett LLC where I do speaking engagements and I have an online overview course. Of course, my big thing is a spiritual growth planner mm-hmm. and the plan that comes with that. But just, you know, basic ministry things. And so that's me.
Coaching, a lot of like spiritual coaching and stuff. Yep. And it's helpful. Very helpful. Anyways, thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the Iron Women Podcast. Tune in next week and we'll see you then. Hey sisters, thank y'all so much for spending your time with us. We are excited and expectant for everything Jesus is going to do through these conversations. If you found this encouraging, insightful, or if it brought you some moments of joy or laughter, go ahead and share this episode with your spiritual sisters to keep today's conversation going. Then come on back and hang out with us on the next episode of The Iron Women.